Ladies and gentlemen, imagine my excitement at appearing opposite a public figure at the same time as familiar and as enigmatic as Mr. Nigel Farage. And finding out a little more about his thought processes, and where better than in this ecclesiastical setting to reveal something that I have discovered, that the adolescent Nigel flirted seriously with the Baptist faith. But on discovering that adult baptism involved total immersion, and realising that this would mean his disappearing entirely from the public view for all of 3 seconds, he withdrew the application. He pops up now opposing HS2. Another mystery. I would have expected that Mr. Farage would have had the candour, or at least the sense of proportion, to indicate the earlier support that his party, UKIP, gave to high-speed train lines. These things deserve a closer look. For, ladies and gentlemen, in their most recent manifesto, his party's blueprint for Britain after the 2010 general election, what UKIP were proposing was not just one new high-speed line for Britain, not just 2 new high-speed lines for Britain, any advance on 2, not just 3, not just 4, not just 5, arguably 6 high-speed lines for Britain. I shall now ask my gorgeous, pouting assistant, Mr. Shaw, to indicate HS2 a la UKIP, which would have been a... Well, let's have a look at this. Let's have a look. It's this way round, isn't it? Have I got it right? So, Mr. Shaw, is that right? Have I got it facing the right direction? Well, there was going to be a north-south line from London going all the way to Newcastle. It was going to have a spur to Manchester. There was going to be an east-west line from London via Bristol to Exeter. There was going to be a linking line, yes, you guessed, to Birmingham. And there's no space for the 5th or 6th high-speed train. It was going to be a link to the ambitious new London airport on an island somewhere off Clacton. Why should we even listen to or answer UKIP's thinking today when we would have wasted so much time studying their thinking yesterday? David Cameron was right first time. Sheer opportunism, pure and simple. Not so our sponsors, Mr. Neil. The Spectator has been as steady as a rock, never pandering to fashion, never wavering in its convictions. It has opposed almost every important new piece of transport infrastructure in Britain since, well, the magazine came in just a little too late to oppose canals, but its pages raged against the spread of those infernal impositions, the railways. I notice it failed to report the Commons grilling of the inventor of the rocket, George Stephenson, by an indignant committee of MPs who put it to Sir George that terrified cows in fields, seeing the red-hot chimneys of steam locomotives, would bolt and abort. Very gently, Stephenson asked whether the MPs were quite sure that the cows would actually be able to distinguish between a red-hot chimney and a red-painted chimney. Motorway madness is back again, said the Spectator in a 1970s editorial. Motorway madness is back again, and so many people have been killed on the M-this or the M-that. The phrase could as aptly be applied to those who built motorways in the first place, suffering surely from a milder form of the personality disorders of Hitler, who significantly built the first ones. The magazine opposed the Channel Tunnel too. The Channel is madcap, it said, just like those self-destructive and land-wasting motorways. It will funnel a vast amount of traffic down into Kent. Sabotage attempts are bound to be made, and some will succeed. For Great Britain, which will be relying on the Channel Tunnel, destruction of the Channel will spell disaster. This, concluded the magazine, is no scaremongering. Ladies and gentlemen, in the minutes that I have left, I shall briefly examine the case against. Here, in brutal summary, are 10 stupid reasons for opposing HS2. First, and we've had this from John Redwood, I went to Manchester by train and there were lots of spare seats. Well, as more than one of my colleagues has pointed out, It's a matter of peak demand rather than off-peak demand. I've driven off-peak on the M6 when it was almost empty. Two, soon we'll all be Skyping and working from home. People will have less need to travel. They said that when the telephone was invented. They said it when mobile phones were invented. They said it when the internet was invented. And all the while, and relentlessly, demand for travel increases. Three, why don't people who want to get to Birmingham sooner take an earlier train? This seemed to me essentially Rory's argument, although he put it a great deal more elegantly. Well, we could all be landing in Australia in 20 minutes if we'd embarked from Southampton 6 weeks ago. Why don't we just have longer trains and platforms? Good idea. We're lengthening platforms all the time, and we have been for years desperately trying to keep up with demand. But the day will come when, at this rate, the platform at Euston will have to go all the way to Manchester. Why don't we have double-decker trains? Good idea. We're going to, with HS2. We'd like to do it with our existing lines, but whisper the sad news, double-deckers won't fit in single-decker tunnels. Six, you can work on a train so your time isn't wasted. If you want to know whether people consider speed a benefit, study not what they say. Every step change in rail speeds in the last 175 years has provoked a great national wailing that we move fast enough already. Study what people do. Two companies serve the London to Birmingham route. One takes up twice as long and costs up to half. How many business travellers do you see travelling to Birmingham by London Midland? They all go on the Virgin Pendolino. Seven, this won't help the Midlands and the North. Everyone will come to London on HS2 and stay. That argument has been put already. This, if true, would simply be an argument against transport. The truth, however, is that the faster and more easily you can get to London, the less you need to locate your office there. Eight, we must protect the Chilterns and protect the Greenbelt. Yes, we must. And as Stephen Norris says, London's transport must punch under and through its greenbelt, or London will explode into its greenbelt. Be careful what you wish for, Cheryl Gillan. Stop HS2 and we'll send you Nick Bowles, and your constituents may rue the day. Nine, Bristol, Cambridge and the Isle of Wight will lose out. My nomination for the worst argument against HS2 so far, well done, Newsnight. So HS2 will confer a comparative benefit on the places it serves. Wow. If the fact that HS2 won't help Bristol or Norfolk is an argument against HS2, then it's an argument in favour of throwing a massive roadblock across the M1. Ten, the money could be better spent elsewhere. Ever and anon the moan. We're not against it per se, but shouldn't we fund free school meals, Burundi food aid, tramways for Derby, better commuter trains for Basingstoke, delete whichever first? Do you think that Thomas Telford didn't hear that moan or its 19th century equivalent every time he designed a fantastic new road bridge? When Wren submitted his drawings for St. Paul's, do you think those voices were silent? Do you think they didn't pester Isambard Brunel and his plans for a tunnel under the Thames? When they built the fourth bridge, didn't people say that men might... And when they built the fourth bridge, didn't people make the same complaint? Are there people not starving in Scotland? When they said that people might fly, when they worked up the plan for our Olympic stadium, when Crossrail was proposed and cancelled and proposed again, do you think the mutter wasn't always the same? How can we spend money on these ambitious speculations on the future while one child is hungry, while one hospital is short of funds, while one family goes unhoused? But cancel this great, brave, necessary proposal. Listen to the cheap applause seekers like Ed Balls, and where will the money you think you've saved go? Through the cracks in the pavement, like all spare government cash always does. It will leak away, and there will be nothing to show for it, no harvest. This is a big idea pushed on by people with imagination and guts. In your hearts, you know that once we've got it, we won't regret it. Let's just do it.
Matthew Paris.